I want to thank everyone that is logging on and listening over to the website. There's a new wind that is blowing, and God is about to do something miraculous, something that we haven't seen before. In January 1st, I remember I was prophesying change. I began to prophesy that God was going to do a move, not knowing what was going to take place. Things have been changing. The wind has been blowing. Freedom and grace and peace has been poured out. Freedom. Prison doors are being broken open. You know, the pastors were speaking earlier about persecution and also afflictions. And God says it's better to enter into the kingdom of God lame. And I'm paraphrasing this. You know, if your eye's causing you to sin, pluck it out. If your arm's causing you to sin, cut it off. And that sin is really just coming out of the peace and the joy and the righteousness that God has given us. We are filled with grace and we're filled with glory. And if we know who we are, and my desire is that we begin to understand who we are. I'm speaking a message about the anointing right now. Not everyone understands what the anointing is. I think the church is lacking a knowledge of the anointing. But the anointing is really, in a nutshell, I will say, God's presence. When you are anointed, you have God's presence in your midst. God walks with us, He manifests Himself, and it comes in several layers. We are changed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And every time we are changed from a level of glory, our anointing increases. That means the presence of God encamps around us stronger and stronger and stronger. I hope and pray that your desire is to have the presence of God dripping off of you so that the shadows, when you walk in the presence, the shadows heal the sick. God is really working on my heart and willing to walk in a form of dying. But that death is the anointing, because in that anointing, there's a resurrection. How many of us understand that we die daily? There is a death daily, a daily death. And not only is it daily, but it's personal. It was spoken already by one of the pastors. We need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. No one is going to save your soul. The only one that is going to save your soul is the anointing in your life. The anointing is the saving power of grace. And the anointing is developed. It's almost like the seed of Christ that's inside of you. Every one of you is anointed. Everyone. But it's a seed that is inside. It's Christ. It's the divine nature of God. It's the Son. But that Son needs to be born again. There's power in the anointing. For one, it heals the heart. The anointing heals the heart. Number two, the anointing renews the mind. And without the anointing, your mind can't be renewed. Without the anointing, your heart cannot be changed. And the anointing resurrects the nature of God. As you die, you're resurrected. As you die, you're resurrected. As you die, you're resurrected. So what's that saying? The anointing is ever increasing. It's ever increasing. You know, these individuals out there, they think that they're anointed and God's doing a work in their life because they might have healed the sick or cleansed the leper or raised the dead. That was God, first of all, in the midst. You know, God can leave our presence and He can come to us. There's no guarantee that He stays with you. There's no guarantee that God's presence is going to stay. It was spoken earlier by Pastor Tim. Pride. Pride will cause God's presence to walk away. it will leave us. It will walk away, because when pride is in the midst of us, he goes, pew. It's foul in the eyes of God. But I look at pride, and what causes pride is the cares of the world. The cares of the world. As we begin to start putting cares in front of us and not the presence of God. I loved what Pastor Sam said earlier. We should just long for his presence. Nothing else matters in our lives but the presence of God. And what is really the presence? Acknowledging who he is. This is not complicated. This isn't rocket scientist stuff. This is just has to be laid out so the simplicity of it can save us. And the simplicity of it is, call upon his name and you shall be saved. That is a form of acknowledging who God is. He's the God of all power, all honor, all glory. He's the one who gives. He's the one who takes away. He's the one that allows you to breathe. If we're still alive, are we praises? Are our lips, is it praising him? Is it giving him honor? Is it giving him glory? Are we lifting his name up? Now listen, we don't have to walk around and say, praise God, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. But is our heart, where is our heart established? You know, I don't care if people look at, I'm going to use myself as an example, that I'm the most prideful person on earth. I don't care if they look at me like that, or if I'm ignorant or whatever. I don't care. What can they see here? Can they even see here? Can they see what's inside? I don't want to judge anyone or anybody or anything. All I say is work out our own salvation. Where is your anointing? Where is the presence of God in your life? Is he far from your lips? Where is he in your heart? Do you wake up every day and say, good morning, God? Do you go at night and say goodnight? Do you wake up in the middle of the night and pray and seek his face? Where are your eyes? Where are your heart? Where are you with him? A lot of times we're robbed. We're robbed by really the natural. God is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. If our eyes are focused on the natural and we're concerned or worried, or we're walking around with judgment based on the natural, we're far from him. You look at Jesus' life, and I truly believe the prophets were raised up under the anointing for those to know who God is. Whether it was the Asia, I don't knock Buddhists. I mean, they might have twisted it and perverted it. I don't knock Muslim, you know. I don't knock any of those prophets in all those lands, you know. I don't. But I take Christianity and I look at Jesus and, you know, we've embraced that and we're honoring him. And I'm grateful that Jesus is the one that I can follow. I'm very grateful that I can look at his life and follow his life. Because if you really look at his life, he had such a deep relationship at the very end of his life. He was fully anointed, where he didn't look at anything other than God. That's where I want to be. How many people want to be there? Forget about the things of the world. Look at your eternal life. Look at the salvation in your life. What is steering your heart? What is drawing you? What is calling you? What? Things? The anointing is powerful. The anointing is changing of your life. The anointing in itself is something that we should all really desire. Jesus, he was a man. It says it in Romans, I think chapter 2, or Acts. Acts chapter 2. And I remember Peter standing up and saying, Jesus, a man just like us. Testified by God. Who God did signs and wonders and miracles through him. Because he was anointed. He was a man with the anointing. And then the anointing was his relationship. Nothing more, nothing less. The only thing that mattered was his relationship. In this ministry here, Glory to the Nations, we are bringing the relationship of God in your lives so that we can understand how to walk with him, how to live in him, how to live in the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's not of this world. It may be in the world, but it's not of the world. It's conformed with a gauge. It's easy to find out what and how much anointing do you have in your life. The anointing is grace. It's the knowledge. But remember, we are changed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And I say, don't gauge yourself, look at yourself, but keep pressing in. Because it's glory to glory to glory. Never condemn yourself. Never judge yourself and put condemnation on yourself. You haven't done anything wrong. Nobody has done anything wrong. We're not perfect, but at the same time, we're perfect in him by seeking him day in, day out, night, day, keeping them in your heart at all times, at all places, every moment, every breath you take, every word you say, everything that is in him is in you. And that's how you're transformed. That's how you come from out of sin and into the kingdom. This is how you are rebirthed. This is how it's all about eternal life. Where's our heart? Where are our treasures? Our treasures, are they stored up here on earth? Or are our treasures stored up in heavenly places? I want my treasures in heavenly places. The value of afterlife to new life. The value. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if it wasn't so, I would never say so. There is a place waiting for us. Are we going to have a sign on it saying vacant? Or are we going to have a sign on it that says sold? I want to go and see it sold because my name's on the deed. I want my place stored in heaven. By the works that we put on earth. And what are those works? It's simply giving God praise. In everything that we do. Search our hearts. Let that anointing work through you. The anointing is power. The anointing will cause you to do things to advance your life in peace and joy and righteousness. The anointing is love. The anointing is love. When you have love, you'll do anything to reach that point in love. How many people have been in love before? What did you think about when you were in love? That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. You ran for it. You did whatever. You couldn't stop. Life around you could not function because all you thought about was love. Where's our mind? Where's our heart? This is a wind that is blowing because God is calling us to deeper levels. The deep call upon deep. You know, there is so much more to know about the anointing. We're scratching the surface of the anointed. And Jesus was the anointed one. What made him the anointed one? He came to a point of first knowing who he is. Please know who you are. You're a child of God. Know who you are. Second, no powers outside of him could touch him. He even said, nothing can come against me unless my Father in heaven has done so. In that, relationship is being built. Our heart, our minds need to be changed. We get offended. We take things personal. Those things need to stop in our lives. We need to walk with God and Him only. This is how we reach eternal life. Eternal life. I'm talking about eternal life. We can have eternal life now on earth, and we can have eternal life when we leave this body. Now, I want eternal life now. Because when you're in eternal life now, it doesn't matter about the things of the world. It all fade away. It doesn't steal our joy. It doesn't steal our peace. Look at what is making our heart troubled. What is causing our hearts troubled? This week, reflect back. What caused your heart to be troubled? What took your rest away? What is robbing, stealing, and killing your joy? What is it? Guarantee it's cares of the world. Guarantee you're focusing on something that is not of God. Guaranteed it's self-interest. Guarantee you're not dead. We need to die daily. We need to look at these things, resist the devil, and it will flee. Embrace yourself back in the presence of God. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to us. I'm going to tell you right now, it's us drawing near to Him that will increase the anointing in your life. And then in that anointing puts a shield around you. It guards you. It protects you. It guides you. It leads you. It speaks to you. It gives you knowledge. It allows you to see in the future. It allows you to know who your enemies are. It allows you to know who the ones that you should be blessed. And it allows you to know who you should curse. It gives you that sense of comfort. Some people, you know, get confused where they think the Holy Spirit is the anointing. The Holy Spirit is part of the anointing. The anointing is literally the whole entire being of God. The whole thing. It's like a nucleus energy of power and love. Nothing can break the anointing. Nothing can hurt the anointing. Nothing can come against the anointing. Nothing. Even God says, don't touch my anointing. It's protected. It's guided. And if when you know who you are and your heart is embraced and in comfort in God, when it's on your lips, on your heart, and you just are encamped around it, and it's your number one. Look, I love things of the world. Don't get me wrong. I love my children. I love friends, family. I love Shelly. I love. But when we put these loves in front, when we put these things in front, God's a jealous God and He won't have any other gods before us. Anything that goes in front of God is a god. It could be money. It could be things. It could be fame. It could be, you know, status. It could be quota. It could be whatever. You could be judging yourself on your blessings, and they could be gods. I just want God. I don't care. Even though I'm grateful, I don't care whether they're here or not. That's how you know how much God you got in your heart. How much God do we have in our heart? How much God, if He takes away, are you sad? If He chooses to remove something out of your life, are you sad? These are the things that we need to understand. What is causing trouble in our hearts? I said earlier how to gauge the anointing. Gauge it by the level of peace, joy, and righteousness, because the anointing is in the kingdom. Come to the kingdom and you'll come to the anointing. God's presence is in the kingdom. God's whole being is in the kingdom. He doesn't dwell outside of His kingdom. When do you ever see a king leave his kingdom? Never. He usually sends stuff out. You know, you go and fight the war. Every once in a while, you'll see the king go out, you know. But normally, the king just doesn't leave his kingdom. He's in there. He's in there. We need to really, like the pastor said earlier, we need to evaluate our lives. We need to look. And like Pastor Tim said earlier, maybe it sounds repetitive or redundant, you know, that we have to go back. We heard it before. But we need to be reminded day in and day out, day in and day out. If we're not reminded about going back to the secret place, going back to that soaking place, going back to looking at where our hearts lay. That's it. We're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. God has touched each and every one of you and drew you to Him. Now, what are you going to do with it? You see? You can't just live your life without giving honor and praise and glory. And how are you going to give honor and praise to glory? In a hole, in a cave somewhere. Worrying about yourself, always me, always me, always me. Nobody understands. That self-pity and all. A lot of times, the natural body is affected. And I want us to understand something about the world we live in. We shouldn't really cherish our lives. The crazy thing is we should learn to hate our lives. If you love your life, it'll be death. But if you hate your life, it'll be everlasting life. It's an oxymoron kind of thing, because really you should love your life, but you should love your eternal life. You should hate your flesh. You should hate the life that you're living. We're all going to suffer. We're all going to deal with pain. We're all going to have issues. In the midst of those issues, ask God. If your relationship's there in the anointing, He'll show you what you need to do. And not everyone is going to agree with the things that you got to do to get deeper in Him. But at the end, what really matters? Relationship with Him. That's why I honor and give Jesus the glory that is due to Him, because of the life that He lived in His Father, in Him. Truly anointed. He was given to us as a prophet to show us the way to God, to allow us to be an example to us. He is an example to us in how He lives His life. And I encourage everyone out there that is listening, read the Bible. Look at how He lived. Look at how He spoke to others. Look at how He rebuked the religion. Oh, He wasn't very liked in His neighborhood, was He? I mean, He even like sometimes rebuked His friends. I mean, He came apart to a point where if you really looked at Him, you would think, what a prideful pig He is. But He had a relationship with God, and He knew what was in His heart. And He says, I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. And I know, as well as you do, that He was a man. So if He was a man, you know that Jesus went from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. So some of the things that He did, I'm sure He looked back and said, God, You were really tough in that area. I think I need to change the way I'm thinking. Can we walk a little bit softer? I can't take this anymore. And God's like, all right, let's work it. Because He's developing a relationship. If He truly believed inside of Him, truly believed that His heart was really leading Him down the road Do you think God's going to rebuke him if he really, truly was opened and honest with his heart and saying, Lord, I want to check and double check and triple check and make sure that this is you, Lord? Amen. So I want each and every one of you to know that when you're establishing your relationship with God, don't ever condemn yourself. Just walk deeper with him. Just walk closer with him. And your anointing is going to ever increase more and more and more. He's going to give you boldness to make moves in your life and decisions in your life that may not glorify you or others, but the outcome will glorify him. Do you know God loves to break you down to nothing so that you're in the eyes of others like dirt? Can you imagine if you were put in front of others and others are just glorifying you and lifting you up? What's going to happen? Pride! So to be honest with you, to be knocked down on the ground, okay, where people may not look at you as something great, is really a gift from God so that you can turn around and glorify him and praise him and give him all the honor that is due to him. Because if you look at Jesus, look at how he was persecuted through the Pharisees and the Sadducees. How he was hated in the church. How he was hated out there in the world. But it was a good thing in him. Because he didn't have to, you know, be glorified and lifted up. Can you imagine if the church started glorifying and lifting him up? I think maybe he would have lost the anointing. But like Pastor Tim said, that persecution and that infliction, those afflictions and persecutions, we need it in our lives. Don't complain about afflictions. Don't complain about persecution. Don't complain. Learn to glorify in them. I'm going to tell you right now, it's hard, isn't it? Let's be honest with ourselves. Isn't it hard when you got pain and afflictions to say, hey, praise you, God. Hey, thank you, God. No, the first thing we're doing is crying out, asking him to heal us. Heal me. It hurts. I'm still crying out, heal me, it hurts. But at the same time, I'm still trying to find out within myself, how can I glorify your name through the pain? How can I glorify your name through the pain, through the hurts and the sufferings? How can I glorify you? How can I praise your name? How can I put you number one in my life? How can I walk with you through this? We all suffer, like Pastor Sam said earlier. We all suffer. There is no one suffering greater than the other. You know why I say this? Because nobody knows the power of the heart. It might be a little suffering in this one's personal life. And this one might be a great suffering. But I'm going to tell you right now, the hearts are suffering the same. How many people caught that one? I'm going to say it again. There might be some great suffering in the eyes of the flesh in that individual. And there might be a little bit of suffering in the eyes of the flesh in this individual. But together, in the eyes of the Spirit, the suffering is the same. It's the same. It's the same. It's the same. So don't ever feel in your heart that no one understands. No one's going through your suffering. No one's going through your pain. Because it's a lie from the pit. It's a lie from darkness. It's just bringing self-pity on your life. We need to completely understand the truth so that the truth sets us free. And the more you embrace the presence of God, the more you praise his name, I'm going to tell you right now, he pours out grace on you. When he pours out grace on you, he takes away our ignorance. He takes away our sin. He takes away our ignorance. And we become more wiser in him, which then gives us more strength to see. And now we can praise him because our eyes are out of the world and we're in the kingdom. We need to get our eyes in the kingdom. We need to get our eyes in the Spirit. We need to get our ears in the Spirit. We need to bring ourselves in the Spirit so that we can be in the anointing. And when we're in the anointing, we are protected. Do you know, I believe with all my heart, with everything in my being, that Jesus was in such a high level of anointing when he went to the cross that he didn't even feel the pain. He didn't even feel the suffering. He didn't even take the offense. All he saw was glory. How many of us see in the glory? How many of us want to bask in the glory? This is what it really means. The glory is, this is the truth of the glory. The glory takes away all the pain. It takes away all the sorrow. He wipes away your tears. Has anyone ever heard that scripture verse before where he says there is no more sorrow, no more tears? It's the glory. It's in the heavens. It's in the presence of God. We can have that now. It's obtainable. Some people right away want to judge it and say, oh, no. That's too far-fetched. It can't be possible. Even to the point where you confess to say, Jesus didn't feel that pain. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. You know why? Because they're not anointed. They can't see it. They're not anointed. They can't see the truth. They're not anointed. Grace has not been given to them. It even says in Scripture that he was worthy. He was worthy to not even feel the pain or the suffering. And that's a paraphrase. But look, search the Scriptures, you'll see that he was worthy. God's love for us is so deep. Do you really think he wants to see you suffer? No different than a love for a child. You see a child, you don't want to see that child suffer. You'll do anything. You'll even pray, Lord, let me take the pain from the child so this child doesn't feel no pain. And when I speak of pain, I'm not just talking physical. I'm talking pain in the heart. You know, I'd rather have my finger cut off than have pain in my heart. Because the finger will be healed. The body will be healed. And if not, you know what? Eventually, that pain will leave when we leave that earthly body. But our heart is forever and ever and ever and ever. And how would you like to be put in a place forever, for eternity, in a pain that you're carrying? I want all my pain washed away. I want all my sufferings washed away. And it only comes through the anointing. It only comes through God. I want to teach more on the anointing. I want to bring an awareness more on the anointing. But you know, we can only receive so much. There might be some grace given, but it's like this. Whew, right over their head. Or they're not able to remember later on down the road. And the power and the cares of this world is keeping you from the anointing. But just know this, we are changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. So I want to end this message by this. We die daily. And what do we die to?
cares. Jesus put it out there. Cast all your cares upon me, and I will give you rest.
Well, I know that rest and pain don't go together. When you're in pain, you're not at rest. When you're in pain, you're not at rest. So obviously, when you have cares, it's taking you out of the rest. When you have cares, it's taking you out of the anointing. Care in one thing and one thing only: your relationship with God. It sounds simple. Seems like this should be the every Sunday service message. Relationship with God. Where's your relationship with God? Are you dying from the cares of the world and building the relationship with God? It takes work. It takes a broken, contrite heart. It takes a decision. That decision is, who am I going to serve this day? Who am I going to serve? I hope and pray in your own life you say, who am I going to serve? Make that choice. That's one thing God has given us, is free will. A free will. And what are we going to do with it? We're going to squander. We're going to run. You can't hide. You can run. You can keep running. You can run, 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 run. And you'll always keep running. But you can stop. Stop running. Face it. Face it. Face it now. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you make your decision. Those that are listening over the web, today is the day for you to make your decision. Today is the day. Who are you going to serve this day? My prayer is that you serve God and Him only. And remember, don't be hard on yourself. You never want to get discouraged. Connect with your heart. Know that your heart is trying to walk with God. And through that, mercy kicks into your life. If God knows that you're trying the best that you can do, He's got a mercy that's in your life. And that mercy is forgiving, it's kind, it's gentle, it's long-suffering. And I'll go back to forgiving again, because He doesn't hold it against you. It's no different than I said before, when a little child touched the hot stove, and you told that child, don't touch that hot stove, and that child accidentally, or maybe intentionally, out of curiosity, touched that hot stove. The first time, oh, here, let me put some ice on it, try to heal it, cleanse it, make it better. Second time, it's going to be a little cold. I told you, don't touch it. Go in the bathroom now and put some ice on it. Third time, it's like, talk to the hand. I don't even want to hear it. And this is how God works with us. Let us not fall short from the glory of God. Let us always embrace His presence. Know that His love endures forever. He brings us back like the prodigal son. Every time we step out, He pulls us back in. But remember, free will. Free will is strong. Free will cause you to run. Free will doesn't want you to be saved. It's connected with the soul. But when you have the anointing, even a little bit, it draws you. The anointing draws itself to God. All things are from Him, through Him, and to Him. So when you have that anointing, you can run,
but for some reason you end up back. It just never allows you to leave. It's like he's got his grip in your life and he holds you tight. So you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be afraid. Some people beat themselves up. There's some people listening that have left the church, became bitter. And I say to them, just get to another one or something. Or find out what made you bitter. Find out what made you leave. Do something, but don't run from God. Don't ever leave his presence. I know that there are some individuals out there that are wanting to come to God, but may not feel worthy. I want to say to them, you're worthy. Everyone is worthy. That's why he created us. So come. Come. Come now to his presence. Amen? Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment. God, I ask that you seal this word on our heart. Whatever we have received from you today, seal it. And give us the strength to implement it. Let us look at our heart. Search it. Let's see where it's taking us. Is it leading us into the kingdom, or is our heart taking us out of the kingdom? Lead us, guide us, direct us. Let us know the truth that is inside of us. Let us come to that honest place, not by judging it with the outward world, but by judging it from the inside world. There's a world that is inside of us. Let us live in that place, I pray. Amen. And amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And I'm going to pass the mic over to Pastor Sam. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Sam. Amen. Amen. For the hunger.
I'm just going to reiterate one point he said. Just make sure we all got it. He said that you can cut your finger off, and that finger is going to heal. But the condition you leave this world in with your heart is the same condition you're going to enter heaven with. Yep. We can control that. We have the power to control that. You know how? I had a brother in here this week talking to him. Thought he was a Christian, been serving the Lord in his own mind for 30, 40 years. And I said, do you realize that God's not created until you create him? He looked at me like I had three heads. I said, God is a God of faith, and he is not created in your life until you create him through faith. Amen. And our job is to create God through faith. Faith is given in measure, but faith can increase. Faith can increase. Spirit is not given in measure. Spirit is given 100% fully. There is no deviation from the Spirit. You're given 100%, but faith is given in measure. And we have the power that God gave us by faith to keep having him be created. Keep having him be created. You know, Pastor said this a long time ago. You know, we're at to be born again. And born again means that you create God through faith. And when you do, you become born again. You have to create God through faith or you're not born again. It's not some experience, some prayer you pray, and that's it, you're done. It's a creation of God through faith, and that's the born-again experience. The whole world missed it. Not this guy. Not this church. We got it. You have to create God through faith, and that's what we're saying today. Get in your room. Create him. How big is God in your life? It's up to you. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to create the soul or are you going to create God? It's your choice. It can't be any simpler or people couldn't follow it. He didn't create some big geometric crazy symbol up there and you got to figure it out. No, he said, if you just seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. When you hunger and thirst after me, I will fill you. That's what he said. It's not brain surgery. It is not that difficult. Listen to the messages in here. Create God through faith. The tools have been given to you, how to create faith, how to build God, how to find him. And all the lies that come into our heads, they're all denounced. There's nothing that you go through that has not been spoken about in this ministry. I guarantee it. There's no problem you're going through, there's no issue that you've gone through that has not been spoken about in this ministry and how to come out of it. Every single answer to your life has been given already. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And yet we still are saying, God, where are you? He's saying, where are you? I've been here the whole time. The whole time. Watching you stumble, watching you fall, watching you hurt, watching you. And just saying, here I am. Just look at me. Give me a chance. Let me have my chance, and I will fulfill everything in your life. Amen? Amen. This week, when's the next Wednesday night service? August 8th, the next Wednesday night service. Please, next Wednesday. Two Wednesdays. Please join us two Wednesdays from now on the website or come in here live. It's going to be a great night. And guys, just listen. We have one job to do in this world. It's to create God through faith so that we're born again. We have a job. We have a job. To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's our job. And you've been told how to do it. Now the question is, are we going to do it? It's our choice how much we choose to suffer or how much we choose to have grace and joy in our lives. It's our choice. He gave you that choice. So if you're suffering, stop touching the stove. Stop touching the stove. Stop touching the stove. Stop touching the stove. Stop. And we'll move forward. Amen? Amen. Have a great week, guys. Amen.